Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 382. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways at the end of the program. It's absolutely free of charge, and postage and handling is taken care of. Please mention whether you want a CD or an audio tape. We have some singing. We have a strong, powerful message from the Lord that is absolutely scriptural. Might do some testimonies this evening too, but right now let's go before the throne of God to ask Him to totally take over this service in every aspect. Father, we pray that You will open this service with You and You alone. Let not anything that is me get involved with it, but let it be You all the way, Father, that souls out in the world could be saved and will be saved, and that the church will be strengthened. Father, Lord, our God, I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now the Bible plainly states that we're in the last days, and that the Lord, there's a lot of people that say they're Christians, and they really are, but they have never taken the position of a Christian. And the thing, everything in the world, this earth is out of order because people fail to rule the world like God commanded Adam to do. And now the last Adam has come into the world, and he's shown us that the people that have the Spirit of God in them do rule the world. He stopped the wind, the water, and we can do the same thing, Jesus said. He healed the blind eyes, cast out devil, healed leprosy, every manner of disease, raised the dead, and we're able to do the same thing, even more than what he did. And so Christians must take the rulership of the earth, or power and dominion of the world, the earth, just as Jesus did. No one could have taken his life. He laid it down. If he hadn't, and raised from the dead, went to, and buried, be raised from the dead, and ascended to heaven, there's no chance that we could have been saved, because the people in this world, even people that call themselves Christians, that are a farce, we see a great falling away. They say they're Christians, but they are not. They are falling away. They're receiving false doctrine, and the signs that the Lord says don't follow them. Now, I know that there's some cases in the world where some of the people on earth do have the signs that follow them, but on the whole, the people that say they're Christians and these people that throng together, 10,000, 100,000, myself, I have a congregation of many, many thousands, even millions. And yet, we're not allowed to. I just don't see a lot of the signs following them. Some of the people I see are praying for people, and they are healed, and they have some of these gifts. But, Father, let everyone receive the message that You have prepared for them before the foundation of the world, that their souls may be saved and the church strengthened in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen. Now, the Bible says that we have to continue on to the end, or we won't be saved. Continue on to the end. Those that continue on to the end shall be saved. Continue in what? In ruling the earth. That's what it is. And first, we have to rule our own spirit. We have to be strong enough to rebuke and reprove people for being devils in churches, and we have to put them out, because the Lord wants there to be a separation between the sheep and the goats. He states in the book of Revelation chapter 11 that when we are to judge everybody, in other words, put the ruler to him, put the Bible to everybody, and see what the Bible says about people, we are to measure people by the Word of God. The measuring rod is the Bible. And those that don't measure up, the Bible says, put them out with the dogs, the Gentiles. Okay? And so that's what we're supposed to do. So, and everyone that does will do it continuously on a day-to-day basis, taking up the cross, denying themselves, and following the Word of God, which is Jesus. So that means we got to ride on. Amen. And this is Fag Springman, one of my very favorite gospel singers, because there's the power of the Spirit of God in his voice. He means what he's singing. And this song is Ride On, King Jesus. Fag Springman on Word Records. Buy one. You know, really, it really pulls you up into the spirit, especially when you're down and out. And anytime I hear his voice, I really feel the Spirit of the Lord in him. Now, if you study the scriptures, in other words, you really closely study them, then you'll be able to see them that... see in them that the earth is the center of all problems. God contends for the earth. He wars for it. It's his. It belongs to him, and it was stolen by a pack of lies. That's why God hates liars, because everyone falls away from the Lord because of a lie. And the devil says, thou shalt not surely die. I mean, let's be up. Let's, let's have a positive thinking. You won't die if you disobey God. Of course, we do. If you don't think so, then tour the graveyards of the world, and you'll see there's a lot of them out there. So the Lord is contending for the world. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray. He says, your name, holy be thy name. In other words, your name be sanctified. Set aside. The Lord's name is to be sanctified, or holy be thy name. In other words, if you don't keep the commandments, you're not holy, you're unholy. God's kingdom come. God's will be done. His will. be done on earth or be done as in heaven, so also on earth. Matthew 6:9-10. So according to the scriptures, the Bible is saying that God's will is being done in heaven. And that's what he wants it to be done on earth. But the big problem is the earth. So the Lord tells us to subdue the world, subdue the earth. And subduing the earth means to rule it. Okay, that's what it means. What God emphasizes here is that man should replenish the earth and subdue it. That means rule it also. Subdue. Take over. Okay, so he says take dominion. Take power over it. Power is to put everything under the subjection of God, not man. All right? So it is of a secondary importance that man should have dominion over the fish of the sea. It's just secondary. And over the fowl of the air and every living thing on the earth. Man's dominion over these other things is an accessory. Only an accessory. The main thing is the earth. The main thing is the earth. Genesis chapter 1, that's the first book of the Bible in case you don't know. Genesis 1 verses 1 and 2 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, not the Antichrist. And the earth was without form and void, or waste, just like it is getting to be right these last days here. It's chaos. There was chaos on the earth. And it's the same thing here. You take people in churches, a lot of them are totally possessed with the devil that are in churches. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. These two verses are made more clear by translating them directly from the Hebrew. And the Old Testament is written in Hebrew and Aramaic. So let's go to the Hebrew. According to the original language, verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens are plural in number and refer to the heavens of all the stars. The earth has its heaven, and so do all the stars. The direct translation of verse 2 is, and the earth became not, was without form and void. Or it was waste and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. In Hebrew, preceding the earth, there is the conjunction and, or but, and, it says. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. These were no difficulties, no problems at all. But then something happened, and the earth became waste and void. The word was in Genesis 1 and 2. Quote, and the earth was without form and void. And the word became, quote, became, unquote, quote, became, unquote, in Genesis 19:26, where Lot's wife became a pillar of salt, are the same. Lot's wife was not born a pillar of salt. What it was that she became a pillar of salt. the earth was not waste and void at the creation, because God spoke and created and made it. A lot of people say that the earth was around for millions of years, but it wasn't. We're talking about God's creation. God created the heavens and the earth right then, right there. So the world did not become waste and void. It was already waste and void. You hear all kinds of people saying that the Bible, you hear these new preachers and teachers saying, well, the world was around. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that the world is only 7,000 years old, or 6 going on 7,000. It was here for millions of years, but God created the earth. But the world was here for millions of years before. That's false, okay? If we read the scriptures, if we study them real close, we will be able to see that the earth, again, is the center of all problems. God contends for the earth. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Or your name is sanctified. The Lord's name is sanctified or holy. God's kingdom come. God's will be done as in heaven, so also on earth. Matthew 6:9-10. According to the meaning of the original language, the phrase as in heaven, so also on earth is common to all these clauses, not only to the last clause. In other words, the original meaning is your name be sanctified or holy, hallowed, as in heaven, so also on earth. So the word's name must be sanctified here on earth. Okay, so if we are his body, then we're to be sanctified here on earth in order to rule the earth. Your kingdom come, as in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, is it God's kingdom come in this earth? Does he rule here on earth now as he does in heaven? No. So it says, your kingdom come, your rule. If you have a kingdom, then you have to have a people. And if you have a kingdom and you're the king, well, then you have a rulership. So he says, your rulership shall come on earth as your rulership is in heaven. Now, the Lord wouldn't allow Satan to operate in heaven, and so he ruled and threw him out. All he did is dispatched one of his angels to throw him out. Your will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. So also on earth, he says. This prayer reveals that there is no problem with heaven, right? Amen. Because God rules there. But you've got a bunch of sniveling, lying cowards here on this earth that will not allow God's will to be done in their decaying, rotten body. They won't let God rule them. They're unruly. This prayer again reveals that there is no problem in heaven. The actual problem then is with the earth we live on, our earth. After the fall of man, God spoke to the serpent, quote, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Genesis 3:14. This meant that the earth would be the serpent's sphere. He knew that God knew that he was ruling it, but the Lord was going to take it back eventually. So the earth is the serpent sphere, right here on earth, the place upon which he would creep, for he is a creep. He is a creeping thing. He is a creep. The realm of Satan's work is not heaven, but earth. And you can really see him operating, and where he attacks mostly is in church. There's so many disgusting liars in churches, so many false prophets, so much false, people that are serpents in sheep's clothing. If the kingdom of God is to come, then Satan must go. Amen?
Amen.
If God comes into this world, Satan goes because God threw him out of heaven and he wants to throw him out of earth. He must be cast out. If God's will is to be done, it must be done on earth. It's already being done in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
There's nobody over there in the kingdom of heaven, up in the kingdom of heaven, that's contaminating the place with a pack of lies and false reports and persecuting people. If God's name is to be sanctified or holy or hallowed, it must be sanctified on earth. In other words, if his name must be made holy, it must be on earth. It already is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
All of our problems and God's problems are here on earth. Two words in Genesis are very meaningful. All the words are meaningful, but we're going to concentrate on these two. One is subdue. Quote, subdue. In Genesis 1:28, this can also be translated as conquer. He says, conquer the earth. Subdue the earth means to conquer the earth. That's according to God's word. You're not to conquer it like the Roman Catholic cult does with the one world government and the media. There's a bunch of liars. This is Satan's, the serpent, and the Lord wants the serpent cast out. But when he's telling you to conquer the earth, that means according to conquer it with God's word, which means don't use bombs and bullets and swords and tanks and airplanes and all these other things. The other word is keep, quote, keep, unquote. In Genesis 2:15, if it can also be translated as guard, quote, guard the garden. We and the earth. We see from these verses that God ordained man to conquer and guard the earth. But man hasn't done that, has he? No, because disobedience to God. God's original intention, and it still is to give the earth to man as a place to dwell. It was not his intention that the earth would become desolate as the serpent has made it with their dirty, filthy lies, their usurping of authority, their false judgments, the twisting of their word. This is Isaiah 45:18. God desired through man to not allow Satan to intrude upon the earth. But the problem was that Satan was on earth and intended to do a work of destruction upon it. And the people that lie, they don't know that they're being destroyed. They just think that the most important thing is to lie about themselves. They like to pick ungodly people. They like to pick on them, make them feel like they're dogs instead of themselves being dogs. They intend to do a work of destruction, desolation upon the earth. Therefore, God wants man to restore the earth from Satan's rule, from Satan's hand. Another matter that everybody needs to see or know is that God required man, strictly speaking, not only to take back the earth, but also the heavens, which is related to the earth. In this scripture, there is a difference between heavens, plural, and heaven. The heavens are where the throne of God is found, where God can exercise his authority. But, you know, God gave authority to man, and so what else can he, once he says something like that, the heavens are his authority. No man can come in because God would burn him up, and nothing flat. Man can't control the universe. It's not Mother Nature that's throwing down these plagues from the heavens. It's the heavenly God, the holy God, the sanctified God. God exercises his authority in the heavens. While heaven, quote, heaven singular, in the scriptures sometimes refers to heaven, which is related to the earth. It is the heaven which God also wants to recover. Revelation 12:7 through 10, some people might ask, quote, why doesn't God himself cast Satan into the bottomless pit or the lake of fire? The answer to this is God can do it. He could if he desired to do it, but he's putting human beings through the fire. He wants to see who's on God's side, who's faithful, who's got the chutzpah, who's going to obey him, who's going to do what God says. God does not want to do it himself. I know why God doesn't do it himself. How would he have many sons? How will he know who his sons are if they lie? Liars are not his sons or daughters. Those that pick on godly people are not his sons and daughters. How would God know who his sons are if they didn't do it? So he lives in his sons, and in his sons that are obedient to him, not concerned about their flesh, his son is the one that does the work. God is the source, and the Lord Jesus is the course. And if we're his body, we're going to go along with the program. We're going to go along that program, that course. He will not do it himself, unless he's in us, but we do know he's going to do it by him living in and through us. God wants to use man to deal with his enemy. He created man for this very purpose. God wants the creature, we human beings, to deal with the creature that he made and cast down, Satan. He wants us, the creatures, to deal with this weak and beggarly source. He wants his creature, man, to deal with his fallen creature, Satan, or the devil, in order to bring the earth back to where it's God's will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. To bring the earth back to God, his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. The man who God created is being used by him for this purpose. Mary Jane, you know, her son-in-law was taking church money and was taking people to movies without, which is a no-no. It's like stealing. And he was cast out of the church. And then he asked to come back. I asked him to come back, too. And I said, well, I'm using him now. She said, you're using the man of the father of my grandchildren? I said, yes, I am. Who do you think you are? Who are your grandchildren? They all have to be used by God, and if he's not being used by the Lord, he doesn't need to be here, and you don't either. So she was reproved strongly. We need to read Genesis 1:26 again. The man whom God created is being used by God. We're either being used by God or we're being used by the devil. So we need to read Genesis 1:26 again and quote, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion, rulership over the earth, over the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. Over all the earth, because not just man, but godly men. So God's name can be made holy on earth, sanctified on earth as it is in heaven. Just unregenerated men are not going to, God doesn't want them to rule the earth because they're unregenerated. They're sinners. They're chaff. They're Satan's children. It's already being run by them, and so God wants them cast out. Not with guns, bullets, and bombs again. We're just preaching the gospel. It seems that the sentence is finished here, but another phrase pops up or is added. Quote, dot, 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 and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. Here it's easy to see that the creeping things occupy a very great position, for God spoke of it after he finished mentioning all of the earth, 100% of the earth. The implication is that in order for man to have dominion over all the earth, the creeping things must not be overlooked. For God's enemy is embodied in a creep, in the creeping things. The serpent in Genesis 3 and the scorpions in Luke 10 are creeps. Creeps. Creeping things. Not only is the serpent representing Satan, but also scorpions representing the sinful and unclean evil spirits that are actually even in churches. That's where Satan really wants to get into, is the strong churches, the false churches. He's already got them. The dominion of both the serpent, we have to take the dominion over them. So the place or the domain of both the serpent and the scorpion is this earth. But it's not supposed to be that way. God wants his will to be done in this world, not the serpent or the creep. So the problem is on the earth. Therefore, we must distinguish the difference between the work of saving souls and the work of God. We must make it distinction, a difference between the work of saving souls and the work of God. There's a difference between the work of saving souls and the work of God. You might say that saving souls is the whole work of God, but it's not. Many times the work of saving souls is not really necessarily the work of God. Because you know why? Because a lot of people are saved and they let the devil take them over. So that's not of the Lord. Saving souls is very important, and we win a lot of souls. Saving souls solves the problem of man. You know, man, when he gets saved, oh, yeah, his problem is solved. But if they don't rule the world, the earth, then God's problem is not solved. The there were a lot of souls that were saved, and then they backslid. They went back into the domain of the creep, the world, because of Satan's influence on them. But God requires that man exercise authority, dominion, to have dominion over all things, over everything created by God. By Him, God needs an authority in His creation, and His chosen man to be that authority. People don't think about that, do they? If we were here just for ourselves as mere men, then all of our seeking and longing would be to love the Lord more and to be more holy, more zealous, and save more souls. All of these pursuits are good, indeed, but they are too man-centered to be the whole work of God. Look at the chaos and confusion on the face of this earth. Look at all the plagues that are happening. These things are God-concerned. He's concerned about the earth also, simply with the benefit of man. It's not just the benefit of man. God's work and God's need are entirely neglected. Now, there's a bunch of people that have their own thinking. But what I'm saying, I just read to you from Genesis over and over again. He wants people to take power and dominion over the whole world. Amen?
Amen.
Not just to save souls. That's just one aspect. We must see that God has His need fulfilled. We're to make the church look beautiful. We're to go out into the world. We're to rebuke the things that are being done by these false governments. We are on this earth not merely for man's need, but even more for God's need. Amen?
Amen.
Who cares what you want? God did His work by saving your soul. Now you've got to do God's work. Amen?
Amen.
So God has a need also. Thank God that He has committed the ministry of reconciliation to us. Not the devil. But even if we have saved all the souls in the whole world, we have not yet accomplished God's work, or a complete work, or satisfied God's requirements of ourselves. Here's something called God's work, God's need. When God created man, He spoke of what He needed. He revealed His need to have man rule and reign over all of His creation, and proclaim His triumph. But what's happened? Even Jesus said, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Well, is that? No, because people say we're saved and we're always going to be saved. And that's false, because if you're not doing God's work, you're going to fall away. He said, we just sit in the church and we're Christians and we're holy, and yet you're lying and backbiting and you're not ruling the earth. I'm going to take a little slug of coffee here. Ruling for God is not a small thing. Not at all. It is a great thing. It's the thing that satisfies God. Our good God needs man whom He can trust and who He will not fail. He will not fail God. This is God's work, and this is what God desires to obtain, to achieve. We do not lightly esteem the work of gospel preaching. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be preaching the gospel. That's part of it for sure. But if everything that we do, all of our work is just preaching and teaching the gospel and saving souls, we are not causing Satan to suffer fatal loss because there's not that many going to be saved. The Bible says, straight is the way, narrow the gate, and few are going to be saved. But the Lord wants power and dominion of himself in this world through man. Amen?
Amen.
How do we do that? You do it the way I'm doing it. You see that I'm rebuking and reproving the rulers of this world, don't you?
Amen.
And everybody outside knows. They don't see how I've got the chutzpah to do that. They just laugh, even the people in the church. Oh, man, nobody else can say what you say. Well, that's because you're not of the Lord then. Okay? You're a coward. You're not doing God's will. If man has not restored the earth from the hand of Satan, he has not yet achieved God's purpose in creating him, creating man. Saving souls is often only for the welfare of man, but dealing with Satan is for the Lord, the benefit of God. God created this world, and he wants it to be his, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You think that's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why? Then why aren't you taking it over? Saving souls solves man's need. I'm saved, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And hey, I'm a liar, yeah, that's all right, but I'm not going to tell anybody that, they'll say. But dealing with Satan, even over their own self, satisfies God's need. They won't stop lying. They won't stop picking on people in the church. They won't. Because they let the devil run over them. Dealing with Satan satisfies the Lord. So I say to all the brothers and sisters in the church, in churches everywhere, this requires us to pay a price. We know how the demons can speak. We see in the scriptures where the demons are speaking out of human bodies. And Susie and I have heard them speaking out of a woman named Verna. We were praying for her, and there was like a crowd of voices coming out of her stomach. And we were saying, Susie was praying for her. She's, Verna, Verna, just let the Lord come into you, Verna. And these devils were just like a crowd, a huge crowd of people, and one of them was saying, don't call me Verna. Don't call me Verna. And she was writhing around on the floor. And this, that was just a young Christian. This made me know for sure that Satan's around. And God wanted her to accept the Lord into her so it would take power and dominion over those demons. And Susie and I were laying hands on her. When I heard that, I took my hand off her real quick because I hadn't been saved long enough. I've never seen anything like that in my life before or after. A demon once says, Jesus I know and Paul I know. I'm acquainted with them, in other words. But who are you? He said to a man that was pretending to be a Christian in Acts 19:15. When a demon meets us, will he flee or not? Back then, I kind of fled from these voices. But now I am on the people want Satan cast out of them. I do that with the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God that casts them out. When demons meet them, does he flee? Does the devil flee from you? Preaching the gospel demands that we pay a price, but a much greater price must be paid to deal with Satan. This is not a matter of a message or a teaching. Dealing with Satan requires our practice, and the price is extremely high. You might go to prison like I did. You might be stoned like I've been stoned. if we are to be men whom God will use to overthrow all of Satan's work here on earth and all of his authority on earth, we must obey the Lord completely and absolutely. In doing other work, it matters less if we preserve ourselves, just even a little. But when dealing with Satan, we cannot leave one bit of ground for ourselves. We must totally cast him out. We may see something of ourselves in our study of the scriptures or preaching the gospel, in helping the church or the brothers or sisters, but when we are dealing with Satan, self must be utterly done away with, abandoned. Satan will never be moved by us if self is preserved in us. You try to preserve yourself and you have no power of God in you. I pray that God will open people's eyes to see that his purpose demands that we be entirely, completely, and absolutely for God. A double-minded man, a double-minded person can never deal with Satan. May God speak this word to your hearts, and may you receive it. So there is the unchangeable purpose of God. God wanted to have man to rule for him on this earth, but man did not attain to God's purpose, except in Jesus. In Genesis chapter 3, the fall took place and sin entered. Man came under the power of Satan, and everything else seemed to come to an end. Satan was seemingly victorious and God was seemingly defeated. In addition to the passage in Genesis 1, there are two more passages in the scripture which are related to this problem. They are Psalm 8 and Hebrews 2. Now, Psalm 8, it's very easy to read that. Somebody open that up to Psalm 8. Shows that God's purpose and plan have never changed. And the fall. God's will and requirement for man remain the same without any alteration. He will, in Genesis 1, when he created man, still holds good, even through, though man has sinned and fallen. Even though Psalm 8 was written many years after man's fall, the psalmist was able to praise. His eyes were still set upon Genesis 1. The Holy Spirit did not forget Genesis 1, that he's to rule the world. Amen?
Amen.
The Son did not forget Genesis 1, nor did God himself forget Genesis 1. In other words, what he's the same in the beginning as he is now, okay? So let's see the content of this psalm. Verse 1 says, O God, Jehovah our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. All who are inspired by the Holy Spirit will utter such words. How excellent is your name. How holy is your name in all the earth. Okay, now read it.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger.
Okay, the enemy and the avenger is the devil. He's got control of the world at this point until people take it away from him. Then what?
When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers.
Thy heavens, right?
Yes.
The work of thy fingers. Amen?
Amen.
He created everything, but yet he says he put it under our control here on earth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, read it.
The moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the
world. Dominion over the earth! Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so this is after Genesis 1. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet.
All things. Everything under your feet. Have you taken that? Or you just think it's just winning souls and preaching the gospel and lying and everything like that? No, it's not that. Okay, you're not supposed to lie, are you?
No.
You're not supposed to commit adultery or think that it's okay to be a lesbian or a homosexual. What else?
All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
All who are inspired by the Holy Spirit will utter such words. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Though some people slander and reject the Lord's name and say all kinds of false things about him, on the History Channel, this unsaved bunch of fatherless children, yet the psalmist loudly proclaimed, O God, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Is it excellent in all the earth? No, Satan has taken the word down and everything, and you people are letting him. He did not say, your name is very excellent. Very excellent does not have the same meaning as how excellent. Very excellent means that I, the psalmist, can still describe the excellence, whereas how excellent means that even though I am, well, I have written psalms, I do not have the words to express, nor do I know the extent of your holiness, or your excellence. His excellence is beyond anyone's ability to speak the Lord's name. So I can only say, O Jehovah, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Not only is his name, which is the Word of God, excellent, his name, the Word of God, is excellent, but in all the earth. His Word must be in all the earth, not just on television, radio. A lot of people are not watching television. We have to get his word out. The expression in all the earth is the same as in Genesis 1:26. If we know God's plan, every time we read the word, quote, man, unquote, or the word earth, unquote, our hearts should leap within us. I see my time is up, and so those of you that want to do as the Lord commands you to do and take power and dominion over the earth, but first you must learn how, you can do that. You can be saved right now and have power and dominion over your own self. That's the first thing. You've got to conquer that first, and then learn how to get the word out and not to deny the Lord, like some people do. So the way you do that is you start out, but this isn't at all. You have to eventually grow up to the fullness of the stature of the Lord so that you can learn, so you can do, so you can please God by ruling the earth. Not by yourself, but with the body of Christ. It's one building, one body, one saucer. So repeat after me. Saucer means we're like a flying saucer, we're all together. And we're fast like lightning because the Spirit of God in us is fast like lightning. Say this prayer to the Lord and be saved. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God, that Jesus died on the cross. And God was in there with him. He's there only one God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and it's your word. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, Lord, I praise and thank your holy name for saving my soul. Now just thank and praise the Lord for saving your soul. And Sharon, tell the listening audience how they can receive a copy of this program, number 382, free of charge, postage and handling included, program 382. Go ahead.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. The Lord stands with you, and if God be with you, there isn't the whole creation that could be against you. He stands by us. And here I am singing, Stand by Me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, now who relaxed wind and water, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, how who never lost in that world, stand by me. Thou who never lost ever, stand by me.